And so, do you just want me to say dispatches from the underground? Dispatches from the underground.
Dispatches from the underground.
With your host,
Joey Steele. Up to no good. We're good?
Question authority.
Dispatches from the underground.
Question everything.
Dispatches from the underground!
All right, welcome to Dispatches from the Underground. I'm your host, Joey Steele. Thanks for getting down with us, everybody. We are coming at you from the underground in New York City. That's where we are. That's what we do. And we're glad you could join us down here for another glorious day in New York City. I'm sure it's glorious wherever you are. I'm sure there's no suffering and no oppression and no pain and no hunger and no strife in the glorious capitalist utopia that you have been born and bred into. And I'm sure that we're all just like, you know, happy as a day in May, if it is still May. Who knows? I can't even keep track of this bullshit. That was all nonsense. I hope it's made you feel better about your life, but probably make you feel worse after thinking about all those wonderful things and how we don't have them. Then that's what we do here on Dispatches. Not make you feel worse, but just really, the goal of this show is to try and reflect on the world around us. We don't want to ignore it. You know, we live this underground life. We live with our heads buried in the underground because that's the only like warmth we've ever found in this world, is like getting down with these great tunes that we see in the punk world or the metal world. I guess there's some metalheads who listen. I don't know. Probably not, but whatever. The only warmth we really get is in the underground. And what we try to do is to painstakingly avert our eyes to the painful world around us and see, is there anything worth pulling down into our world? Is there anything redeeming in that fucking disgusting cesspool that we find ourselves waking up into every day and going into work and building? Or is it all crap? And then we fucking throw it out. We should throw it out. And on the other side of every episode, we also try to remind ourselves of the glory of the underground, the good things that are happening to underground, underneath people's, you know, visions and sights and everything else, that the things that we are told to ignore, we try to find those and bring them to the forefront and remind us, you know, give us a little bit of warmth and heart. Today, we're going to be doing that with a very special guest, a person who is near and dear to me here in New York City. And she's actually a member of the Dispatchers of the Underground Collective that we have gotten off the ground here in New York. Lauren, what's up?
Hey, Joey. Thanks for having me.
Thank you for hanging out in the studio today and doing this with me. I'm really glad you're here. Cough, cough. We're going to be talking for those two segments that we talk about, talking about the mainstream and talking about the underground. The first part, we're going to talk about underground. We're going to talk about something that you did that's on the more underground tip here in New York City, which is dealing with something that the mainstream does to people, which is wasting food and leaving people hungry. And you have been involved in combating with this Feed the 5,000. Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. What's the organization that you were working with?
The organization is called Feedback.
And it's feedbackglobal.org. People can go find out more information. We're going to be talking about it in depth in a minute. But first part of the episode, we're going to be talking about this Feed the 5,000 campaign and taking food waste and turning it into food production.
Food produce? Meals.
Meals. Okay. Meals. Yeah. I guess that's what we call
it. Food that would have gone to waste, turning it into meals.
So we're talking, that's the underground part. That's the part that's hopefully going to give us some hope. I might meander into talking shit about food. I got a food problem. I got a food disorder, I guess. I hate food. I hate talking about it. Lauren is a professional chef, an amazing artist, culinary artist. So hopefully she can steer me right on that front. But I'll probably fuck up and end up talking shit a bunch. So we'll see how that goes. Whatever, you're going to hear in a minute. On the other side of the episode, we're going to be talking about something that is more mainstream, something that all of us deal with every day, which is building the world for capitalists and making the world that capitalists have a vision for. And then how we can't build our world, how we can't build the vision that we have deep inside of us. And a lot of times it gets buried and beaten down. And Maddie Ruthless and I talked about a little bit about this the other day. And Lauren, sadly, I guess, or wonderfully, or thankfully,
both,
was listening to that and brought it up to me and got me thinking a little bit about it. So I appreciate the fact that you listen, Lauren. Thank you very much. And are still willing to come on the show after you listen. Not a lot of guests are willing to do both those things. But also, that is the goal of this show. It's not to get a hold of me, but it's to listen to the show and hopefully just like reflect on it, you know? We just live these lives that are so reflectionless. It's like little vampire existences that we live, like without any reflection. And it's a bummer. And I think that there's so much opportunity. And the goal of this show is really just to help people deal with the bad in the world, remember the good in the world, and get a little reflection, get down deep into some reflection. So at the end of the episode, I hope you do the same. I hope we don't bum you out. I hope we light a fire under your fucking, your thin little white ass or whatever. I don't know if you have a thin little white ass, but I'll let you think that for now. And we're going to burn it. We're going to light it on fire. Hopefully get you moving for some shit. So thanks for coming out, Lauren. I appreciate that.
Thanks for having me.
We're going to get to Lauren in 1 second. I want to say a couple other thank yous real quick. Thanks to Real Punk Radio, realpunkradio.com for airing Dispatches from the Underground every Wednesday night at 11 p.m. You guys should all go check out that. They got a ton of great programming, a lot of interesting underground music going on over there. I want to say thank you to everybody who continues to listen and promote this show on whatever social media they use. It's a huge help to us. We don't have any advertising budget, so big, huge help to us. Thank you very much. And thanks to everybody involved in Punk Island. Punk Island's coming up. It's a major event for us here in New York City. Dispatches is heavily involved in it every year. June 19th. And on Governor's Island, we're back on Governor's Island this year, and we have a ton of great bands, 8 stages, over 80 bands. Ida from Columbia is going to be playing. My Pizza, My World is going to be playing from Texas. Rats in the Wall from California. We're going to have a great time here on our stage, so make sure you get out there. That's going to be starting at 10 a.m. June 19th. So huge thanks to everybody in the Punk Island crew for making that happen, especially Al from Brooklyn Transcore and Liz Red from Candy Apple Red for busting their asses every single day to make that shit go down. There's also a ton of other shows coming up. If you're on the East Coast, All Torn Up, my band is going to be touring up the East Coast with Leftover Crack and Days and Days starting in early June. So come out to a show, say hey, get some free merch from me. If you mention Dispatches, I'll give you something free. Appreciate everybody who listens and still comes out to say hey to me. It's pretty brave of you. So that's all the shout outs. Thank you all. But mainly thanks to everyone who listens in every single week. Actually, I'm thanking you, Lauren, because actually you listen too. Not every week, but every. Thank you so much.
Pretty close.
Yeah. We're going to be playing some songs today, probably a few from Punk Island folks. So we're going to get to one right now, and then we're going to get to this interview with Lauren. So get down. All right, let's listen to some tunes here. I want to play a song. Actually, this is a song from a band that's playing after Punk Island. Punk Island is June 19th in New York City. And this is our like after party show, I guess, our post-Punk Island. Not post-punk, but post-Punk Island party. It's going to be on a Monday. It's June 20th at 7 p.m., Rats in the Wall from California is going to be playing the show. Surima, my band Surima, is going to be playing. Trashy, which is one of the best bands in New York City, Brooklyn Transcore band. And Apes of the State is going to be playing that show. And the reason I know about this band is because they submitted to the Punk Island email, punkisland13@gmail.com. They submitted to us, and I listened to them, and I loved them, and I listen to them all the time. I think that they're fantastic. I really think that this is a very talented band. Couldn't fit them on Punk Island at the time that they had messaged us, but I was super happy to put them on something related to Punk Island. So this is after Punk Island, and this is a band called Apes of the State. I think they're from Pennsylvania, but I think they play New York pretty often. I don't know. This is all speculation. I don't exactly know. But either way, this is definitely Apes of the State. You can definitely hear them at the Grand Victory June 20th here in New York City, and go download their shit from Bandcamp right away. You'll dig it. So Apes of the State. Get down.
I got sober intentions, cause I'm always fucking sober, and I have every intention of being your next crazy ex-girlfriend. No shame in saying it out loud. And I didn't even like you that much, but I can't stop writing songs about you. Hope you like them, hope you like them, hope you do. Hope your new boyfriend likes them. Hope he sings along with you. And I got sober intentions, but I'm stumbling drunk off anger. I can't stop singing. I'm spitting words like fire straight at you. I'm sorry if I burned your cute new hairdo. And I don't even hate you that much, but I can't stop being sad about this. I have had it. I'm going crazy over goddamn Facebook status. And I got sober intentions, but I'm strung out on emotions. I'm angry, inspired, I'm on fire, and I'm sitting on my bed, throwing a tantrum while playing my guitar again. And I don't even hate him that much, but when you break his heart, I hope he can't stop writing angry poems about it. I hope he loves you more than I did.
What's up, Lauren?
Hey, what's up, Joey?
How you doing?
Good, how are you?
Thanks for coming out to my beautiful studio.
Of course. This
lovely spring afternoon. We'll just say it's afternoon. It's not really.
Why not? Happy to be here.
No one who's listening gives a fuck or has any idea. Or maybe they do give a fuck. Maybe I'm wrong about that. I could be wrong about that. Probably am. What have you been doing? You've been fucking busy being at work for a while now. You've been super busy, like nose to the grindstone.
Yeah. It's been definitely busy. I was actually just involved in this event called Feed the 5,000. We did it in Union Square. I actually got hired through my work just to help prep with these people. I had no idea what it was going into it.
Oh, cool. So people who don't know, you're a chef, you're a professional culinary expert.
Let's not go as far as expert, but I get paid to cook.
That's professional.
That's professional.
I call myself a musician though. Oh, expert.
No, expert.
No. That's I'm putting it in there. It's in there. It's in the podcast. It's official. But I mean, you get paid. This is what I like about chefs. You are some of the only people that are around that get paid to make art on a daily basis.
That's true.
And I'm jealous. I'm jealous, not of the fact that you work around fire and knives all day. I think that's terrifying. But I'm jealous of the fact that you get to cook all day and make art.
Yeah, it is pretty fun, I will say.
And so you're working as a chef, a professional artist here in New York City, and your job hires you to feed homeless people?
No, not quite.
Because that's a pretty sweet fucking gig.
No, it would be really awesome, actually, if they did that, but... No, there was just an organization. They were donating their resources, me being one of their resources, you know, the best way to put it,
wow.
to help out this organization. And
that's fucked up to think about. That's really depressing.
We're all resources.
Yeah, speak for yourself. But yeah, that we're like their property that they can. Did they consult you? Did they ask if you like homeless people before they did that?
No.
What if you really hate? What if you were like Trump or like a Republican or something?
I mean, I think my bosses that I have right now know me well enough that they know that's not the case.
So the Republican fuckheads and conservative pieces of shit who work with you, and don't worry, they're not listening.
No, they're not.
Them and everybody else. Did they also work the event, or did they?
They
not?
Did.
Oh, they did.
Yeah, my bosses worked the event.
Oh no, the pieces of shit. Like, are there pieces of shit you work with, or they're all actually nice?
Most of them are nice.
Oh,
most of them are nice.
Really boring. That's
I'm
super
so sorry.
Fucking boring, actually. Okay, that's fine. I mean,
there's always going to be people you disagree with, people that you fight politically with. I know who those people are.
You're saying me or you?
Me.
Okay, yeah.
Yeah, like, or the general you, but yes, me.
The royal you.
Yes.
So your bosses oppress you and also bring you into this event. And it's called Feed the 5,000. It's in Union Square. What is it? People don't know what Union Square is because they live in other places, and why the fuck would they know? Union Square is like, to young people, I guess, to me, it's the center of the city. It's like the Times Square for us. Because Times Square is irrelevant. Times Square is like tourists.
Yeah,
and
nobody goes to Times
perps.
Square that actually lives here.
Yeah.
Unless they have to.
Yeah, unless you have to like get through the city somehow. But Union Square is like the center of the city for us. It's like what connects, really, the connection between Brooklyn and Manhattan is like through Union Square.
Yeah, and I mean, there's farmers markets there like four times a week. There's always like events going on there. So
I forget about the farmers market because I don't cook and I don't give a shit. But the farmers markets are major. That's like a major thing for chefs there. Like y'all go to farmers markets all the time to get like fresh, disgusting produce.
Yeah, disgusting.
Right? I mean, disgusting to me. Who wants to eat that? But it's like delicious to you.
So delicious.
Oh,
why?
Well, farmer's market is like, I don't mean it to be divergent or whatever the fuck it is, or tangential or whatever. But farmer's markets are just filled with everything gross. Like there's no soda. There's no Coke Zero. There's no like, everything's GMO list.
All right, so nobody can see me right now, but I'm like looking at Joey in disgust.
This is a podcast, people. There's nothing. There's no science stuff. It's all ground stuff. That's gross. Nature's disgusting. It's tasteless. There's no raspberry flavored anything.
There's raspberry flavored raspberries.
Are they raspberry flavored raspberries? Because raspberry flavoring is way more delicious than raspberries. Can we all agree on that?
No, no, we can't. No, absolutely not.
Blue raspberry.
Well, you said raspberry. Blue raspberry is not even a thing.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Nature, once again, fucking inferior to the blue raspberry. Only a scientist could come up with something so brilliant. Can we all agree with that?
No. Absolutely not.
Okay, fine, fine.
We're not going to agree in farmer's market.
But seriously, though, to me, a farmer's market is just like the biggest. Christine, my lovely partner, loves farmer's markets. We go to farmer's markets all the time, and I just hold the bag and look for the honey, because honey is our closest thing to scientists that you're going to get at a farmer's market. And they're fucking boring. They're old people, and everyone looks like they've been hidden away in a basement, like they're so pale. But they've been out in the garden all day, and I don't understand how they could be so pale.
That's something I've never noticed, but now I'm going to notice that the next time I go.
It might be just because they're super white people, but
I
don't know.
That's probably it. Yeah. I mean, the majority of farmers markets are a bunch of white people. I actually don't know.
Yeah. It's because it's not fun. It's because there's nothing fun going on at the farmer's market. There's no science. That's why. All right. I might be hating unnecessarily. Might be.
Yeah, you are.
might be. I'll agree that I might be. We can agree on that. And we could have both agreed that farmers markets suck.
No.
Didn't we agree on that?
No. I did not agree on that. No, I love farmers markets.
What do you love about them? Because I'll be fair and balanced. This is fair and balanced media or whatever.
All right. Well, I was just there like a couple weeks ago at the farmers market and just seeing all the different interesting plants they had, like stuff that I didn't even know existed, all the different herbs and getting to taste stuff. Like that's interesting to me. It's fascinating.
I guess you use your...
palate.
Yeah, your palate to like know the world better.
Yeah.
And
see things that I normally wouldn't see. Like they've got some crazy herbs going on.
What's a crazy herb that we don't know? I don't know. But maybe thyme? Thyme always seemed like a crazy herb to me because I can fucking get it on a watch.
Different spelling.
Oh. Whatever. Oh, no, it's a spelling bee. Wow, farmer's market seems so fucking fun. It's a spelling bee and a thyme fest all wrapped up into one with a bunch of crazy ass white people.
Like, okay. There's so many different kinds of like mint. There's like orange mint, chocolate mint, regular mint. Oh. I'm just grossing you out now, aren't I?
Oh my God, mint is so gross.
What? Okay.
Yeah, mint, unless it's in Trident. Trident mint is good.
Oh my gosh.
Science has improved the tape flavor of mint. Okay, we've
gone completely off topic.
I'll edit
now.
All this out, don't worry. Yeah, no problem.
All right. Back to feed the 5,000.
Okay, so you were in Union Square that has these beautiful farmers markets with all these white people, but it wasn't a farmers market event. We like went on this farmers market tangent, but that's not what it was.
No.
Okay, I was trying to give people bearings, but then I lost mine. Sorry. Yeah. Sorry about that.
Yeah, so I helped out on the Sunday before. This was like 3 weeks now.
Okay.
And we were just helping out in the main kitchen that I work out of, and I started talking to these people. We had all this like kind of gnarly looking produce that we were working with and cutting up to turn into pickles. And I was just like, what exactly are we doing? And they're like,
so pickled whatever.
Just like, it was like a quick pickle. So you take a solution of sugar, vinegar, like herbs, spices, boil it and pour it over either fruits or vegetables, seal it up.
Any fruit or vegetable.
Yeah, pretty much.
So it doesn't have to be cucumbers.
No.
That's like science.
Yeah.
That's interesting.
Yeah, so that's what we did.
Okay.
We had celery, apples, carrots, and pears.
Whoa.
Yeah. So
pear,
we cut all that
pear,
up.
Pickles. Pickle pears.
Yeah. They're
that
really good.
That sounds kind of good, actually.
They're really good. All right. I'll make them for you sometime.
Well, you know, let's get all crazy here.
So we got it all together, and I was lucky enough to be accidentally talking to the person that runs this organization called Feedback, who does events like Feed the 5,000. Mm. And I was asking him kind of like what we're doing here, what his purpose is. And the whole idea was that you take stuff that normally would be thrown out either by the farmers or grocery stores because it's not pretty enough, it's a little past its date, and feeding people with it. And so the event's called Feed the 5,000. We fed 5,000 people meals in Union Square, and then we took another 5,000 meals and donated it to City Harvest, which is an organization that feeds the homeless and underprivileged here in New York City.
City Harvest does great work, and they've been doing great work here for a long time. A lot of people only know City Harvest in New York around Thanksgiving and the holidays because that's when sort of people like started thinking about this thing. But this event was like it was mid-spring. It was a spring event. So that's really exciting that people were – this was put in people's faces, not at like the holiday season time.
Oh, yeah. We had people just like – if you were walking around Union Square that day, we had people that be like, hey, you want a free meal? And then they'd eat and they'd, you know, hear people talking about just different food waste issues. And this event actually happens. It's only the second time it happened in the U.S. It happens worldwide. Wow. So this organization's actually based in
Feedback.
Yeah, Feedback. Mm-hmm. I believe it's British, but they do stuff all over the world.
That's pretty amazing. And so, but it's actually a lie, because it was Feed the 5,000, like people who are just walking around wandering into Union Square that day. But it's actually Feed 10,000, because you all also fed people who weren't around and
exactly.
and are sort of like have fallen in or through the cracks in here in the city.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay. So, and you, when you were talking to the fella, what's his name?
Tristram. Yeah, it's a little difficult.
Just make it as difficult as I can to say that. Thank you.
Yeah.
thank you for having a fucking ridiculously difficult name, you great philanthropist. That's fucked up. I'm going to cut that out. I shouldn't be attacking people for their names. That was racist.
It's okay.
Anyway, so you're talking to this guy, and he's done this only a couple times here in this country, but he's done it in all these other places. What is his goal? What is the goal of the organization, and then I guess in turn the day, right?
Yeah, so the goal of the organization overall is just to prevent how much waste we produce with food. Food that's like
you,
good. Like,
you produce or we produce?
We produce as an entire world, really. No.
Not just cooks.
No.
Not just in
grocery
kitchens.
Stores, consumers, farmers, everything.
Because I don't waste anything.
Well, that's a lie, because I do lie. Even.
Yeah,
we all do.
But I have worked in kitchens before, not making food. Don't freak out, people. but there is a massive amount of waste in kitchens. I mean, it's just fucking massive. There's garbage bag after garbage bag of food that was totally edible, except for the fact that the person who might have been eating it may have been had hepatitis or something. But you're not talking about, like, recycling dishes.
I'm talking about perfectly good food that's not up to, like, the standards of the supermarkets, like beautification standards. Mm.
Beautification standards.
Yeah, like they don't serve ugly food.
My supermarkets don't have
food.
That. Oh, not for people coming in.
Yeah, like
for food standards.
For like they're like made up food standards by the USDA that like grocery stores will use.
Oh,
and kind of
what the
they'll
fuck?
Take their like.
I thought there were people standards. I was like, my grocery store doesn't have
no,
that.
No,
they let me
standards.
In. Oh, okay, that's nice. All right, I thought that was fucked up. They're like no bruises, no
not
wilted
even no
lettuce.
Bruises like. The size and length of like a carrot.
What?
Yeah, there's like, you know, different grades, and they're all just.
I actually have carrots right here that we're
you
sitting.
Do.
I'm sitting next to. You, happen to be eating carrots.
They're all kind of the same ish.
Yeah.
Right? Yeah.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Because
they were picked out.
When you go
of
to
a
farmer's
bunch
market,
of other carrots.
Yeah. When you go
and
to
the ugly
market.
Ones were thrown away. Not even composted.
They were
just
thrown away.
Thrown away.
I
sometimes
didn't know
they don't
that.
Even leave the farm. I mean, this is a lot
these
of the
are,
stuff
these
that
are like
I
scrawny carrots, though. These are like, I'm looking at a carrot here. It's like, you know, a quarter inch wide. Mm-hmm. This is a scrawny carrot. I'm pissed. I want a prettier carrot.
I mean, I think that's a pretty carrot.
Oh, we'll see. Maybe our beautification standards aren't
exactly.
that high
they're
here,
all,
Lauren.
They're all subjective.
But like, yeah, you go to a farmer's market, you get like an ugly looking carrot. It's all stumpy and curled up
there's
and gross.
There's nothing wrong with it.
Yeah, but it looks gross.
But it tastes the same.
Let's see. Okay, so I'm starting to get these. I'm starting to get the beautification standards.
Yeah.
Here now. All right.
Like, you're used to seeing such uniform produce. Like right. That's how I grew up. Like, all tomatoes are about the same size.
Right.
Until like I actually worked on farms for a little bit in Colorado and saw like, hey, they grow all which ways. There's nothing wrong with them at all. But you don't see that ever in the grocery store.
No, you don't. And you don't even see that kind of stuff at the farmer's market. I worked on a farm.
Yeah. Same.
I worked on a farm in Ohio. And, you know, our stuff was, like, relatively uniform, I think, when we were producing. It was a small farm, so it was a city it was a city farm. And so we have very, very, like, you know, consistent raising of our produce. But, and we would sell it at a farmer's market, and it was no big deal. So, like, anyone would buy it, because we sold to a bunch of hippie white people. So they'd buy anything. They didn't give a shit.
From a farm.
I never even thought of how that looked different. I worked on a farm, and I never even thought about how different that looks than the shit you buy in the fucking produce section. All that shit is so standardized.
Yeah.
I just figured there was a scientist in the field being like, making that one the right size and shape.
No, they're throwing away all of the
that
ugly produce.
Up.
I mean, a lot of this stuff I didn't know until I, like, hung out with this guy for, like, 8 hours. Like,
and you work around food all the time.
Yeah,
and
I guess
been on
I didn't really, I mean, I
who
thought
about
it a little bit, but not that much.
Yeah, we both have worked on farms, and we both eat food pretty much every day.
Yeah.
And it never come across our minds.
Yeah, it's insane.
Pretty
and so
cool.
I was talking to this guy, and grocery stores. He was mainly talking about in Britain when you can do this, but I haven't looked up to see if this is true.
I didn't even know there was farms
US.
In Britain. Yeah, that's the news to me too.
So, like, stores will be like, hey, I need 10,000 pounds of, let's say, you know, this one kind of tomato. Mm. And like the day before, the farmer spends, you know, the months and months cultivating it. The day before, they can be like, actually, we only want 5,000 pounds.
Wow.
The farmer doesn't know what to do with the other 5,000 pounds. And they were just supposed to eat the cost. So this guy's actually like went to like lawmakers and gotten different laws changed that at least the stores have to share part of the cost so as to deter them from doing it.
Mm.
Or if they can't sell a certain kind of produce, they'll like up their beautification standards.
Mm.
Just because it's a way to get around having to buy this stuff. And then it usually just goes in the garbage because especially if it's something like tomatoes, we all know they don't last that long. If you ever buy a tomato, you've got a couple days.
Yeah.
So
even refrigeration, obviously.
Oh, you're not supposed to refrigerate tomatoes.
What?
Yeah, they lose their taste.
Oh, who cares? I don't care how they taste.
What?
I just got to eat it. I don't have to like it.
Well, you're not supposed to refrigerate tomatoes.
I don't understand. How can I not refrigerate the tomato? I got to keep it. I'm going to put it in this.
We store it upside down.
Get the fuck
I'm
out of here.
Kidding.
How am I going to turn my refrigerator upside down?
You store the tomato upside down on the counter.
No.
That's how you're supposed to store them.
That's disgusting. And
I don't know what's wrong with you.
I don't care how the tomato tastes. I just need to eat the vegetables and the vegetables, right? That's what the doctor said. The doctor didn't say it has to taste good.
Oh, my God. You're, like, hurting my soul right now.
All right. This was not supposed to be an Insult Joey Steele segment, although they kind of all fucking turn into that at a certain point. So this fella, not only is he changing laws, he's having a huge impact on laws, and he's having a huge impact on people of the day. Like, it's brightening people's days, which is really nice.
Yeah, the whole point of the Feed 5000 is like kind of like a really good PR campaign.
Yeah,
to get it out there, like kind of put it in people's faces, like, you know, there's so much food waste, like don't follow expiration dates because they're all made up. In case
don't follow expiration dates. Scientists told me that
they're suggested. It's all suggested. I promise.
Christine makes me every day. She, you know, buys food from the co-op. She is really thoughtful about all the places that she shops for food.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, she takes something out of the fridge and it'll look like gross. I'll be like, that looks gross. I'm not eating that. She's like, no, it's fine. Eat it. And I'm like, fine. I got to eat whatever she tells me to eat.
Of course.
But I think it's like, it's bad because it looks bad. But it's still like edible because the expiration date's not really firm.
Expiration dates are suggestions.
Can we get like real firm on those? Is there
any way to just use your brain. If it smells bad,
if it's furry, it's time to go.
Yeah.
Okay.
But there's no need. If something looks good,
what's the bottom line for you? If you look at a piece of fruit and you're like, this is what you're looking at.
It depends what fruit, but like,
what's
I mean,
tomato.
What are you talking
about?
Tomato.
Yeah. You're apparently not.
I'll use it for different things. If it's, you know, if it's starting to go a little bit bad, I'll turn it into sauce.
Sauce is more forgiving than
my salad. Because you don't have to have the texture anymore that you would with a raw tomato as a cooked tomato, because you're going to cook it all down, change the structure. So, you know, I'll use it for a different application.
Change the structure. This is so exciting. This is like science, food science stuff. All right. Well, we'll get away from my disgusting hatred of expired food. But what can people take away from this? Like, how can they look more into this kind of stuff and figure out, can they do that themselves? Can they like feed their 5,000 in their fucking Iowa town somewhere? Like, I don't even know. What the fuck can people do? I mean, you're fucking my life up in general right now, Lauren, because I am now not supposed to look at expiration dates, so I feel like I'm going to get a lot more sick.
I mean, but they're a guideline. You can look at them, but they're not like hard and fast, like get rid of this by this date or it's definitely good until this date.
I can either follow the rule or I'm not going to follow the rule.
No, they're arbitrary.
Okay, so I'm not going to follow the rule.
Don't follow the rule.
All right, that's it. I'm not following
the rule. Everybody out there, don't follow the rule.
Yeah, stop following the rules, you fucking cheesy ass.
And just get a hold of Joey Steele if you get sick.
Yeah, just holler at, just be like, just go to your doctor and be like, I don't know, I haven't been following the expiration dates on this milk product. I thought it was a guideline. Joey Steele said drink it anyway, and now I'm dying of cancer.
Well, that elevated
sue me.
Quickly.
Sue me. Yeah, sue me up. Sue me up, motherfuckers. What can people do? How can people find out more information about this general issue?
You can go to feedbackglobal.org. They've got a list of tons of different events that are happening all over the world, really. And
there's more information about like the campaigns they have and like food facts stuff, like food waste stuff, or what?
Yeah, campaigns, food waste, different events, just like news. They kind of tell you about themselves. There's some videos you can watch. They're like 5 to 10 minutes long.
Are you on the videos?
No.
They fucked up.
No.
They should have put you on the news videos.
No, they're all like older videos. There's like a clip from like a TED Talks that this guy did.
Oh, nice.
So just, you know, it gives you general information, but you can go there for more info. But I think the biggest thing that I got from it was to like be aware of like what you purchase, eat what you purchase, mm-hmm. and like don't throw it away.
And I guess I bet you if you go to this website and you find out where you can probably donate to someplace in New York that'll do this. I mean, City Harvest does great work, so City Harvest will take a lot of stuff. And I'm sure they'll work with you if you mention this to them. They probably will have a way to work with you.
Yeah.
So I'm sure if you're in New York, and a lot of other cities have something that's comparable to City Harvest in their area, I bet you if you holler at City Harvest, they'll be able to help you to figure out what you can do with your waste. Your food, the food you're not eating. Don't call City Harvest and fucking try to give them a pile of shit. You fucking you thoughtless, inconsiderate jerk. There are some other Feed the 5000s that are happening on the event section of the website. There's one in England. There's a couple in England, actually. There's one in Poland. There's one in Athens. There's one in fucking Omaha, which is, I think, amazing. That's in October. For folks in Omaha who listen, I know there's some folks in Omaha who listen. So there's one in Paris. I don't know if there's anyone in Paris who listens, but it's coming up. It's coming your way. So get involved and fucking get down with that shit. We will have just missed the one that happened in DC when this airs. So there is one happening in DC. So we fucked up on that front. So too bad. Cool. All right. Well, Lauren, thank you for putting up with my bullshit. Principally, but also secondarily, thanks for doing this event. This sounds really cool. I'm glad you fucking got down with it. All right, everybody, go get down with Feeding the 5000. Get down. Now, here's a band that's actually playing Punk Island June 19th right here in New York City. Here's a band called Ida. They're from Colombia. They're headlining our stage at Punk Island, and they're fantastic. They're the originators of punk in Latin America, so proud to have them, proud to represent for them, proud to have them on our stage. So here's Ida. Get down. I get paid the big bucks for.
Exactly. That's why you're Joey Steele. All
right. So a couple of weeks ago on Dispatchers from the Underground, I did an interview with Maddie Ruthless, and one of the only people in this fucking piece of shit country and piece of shit world that we live in who tells me when I fucking do a bad job or when things are going poorly or when an interview is decent or listenable is Lauren. And Lauren doesn't say good things very often. But
oh, come on.
Let's just fucking be real on the podcast for a second. Lauren. But we did the Maddie Ruthless episode, and Lauren, for the first time in a very long time, she was like, yo, that Maddie Ruthless episode was gold. It was fucking awesome. And then I obviously gave credit to Maddie because Maddie is a superstar and really easy to work with. So I obviously was like, it's completely Maddie. And Lauren, who listens to some of these podcasts, she's like, yeah, it's completely Lauren. It was really obviously Maddie. I mean, it was obviously Maddie. So thanks, Maddie. Shout out to Maddie for making the second part of this interview possible. But one of the things we were talking about that, and one of the things that Lauren brought up that she was reflecting on from that episode was just how Maddie and I were talking about how we have sort of like toes or feet in different elements of the world at different times.
Yeah.
I don't know how you put it, Lauren.
I kind of put it that you either have to choose to be like completely underground or completely like within general society. Mm. And like, as I'm getting older, I'm realizing like I feel more and more like split and torn in half where like I've got interests in both, but I feel like I'm not giving all to either. So like I'm kind of at like a crossroads where I don't really know what the fuck to do with myself.
I think a lot of people are there. I mean, I feel like, you know, that's why I'm all torn up. I mean, we're all torn in all these different directions, and we're all pushed to do all these different things, most of which we don't want to do, but we feel compelled to do for whatever reason, like making sure we have food or
a shelter,
being able to pay for our rent, and that we're forced to live on, you know.
I mean, especially here in New York City with like the crazy rent, crazy cost of like literally everything.
Yeah. Yeah, we live in the worst and the best. Yeah, but mostly the worst city in the world. We're torn in all these different directions. And I was really glad that that came through because it's something I think Maddie struggles with, and it's something I struggle with. And it, you know, since that episode, I've just been reflecting on that a lot of like, Maddie is one of the greatest musicians I know in New York City and in this world. And it is a fucking unbelievable shame that she's not just making music 24/7. She should just be making music 24/7, not working as she works, you know. I'm not a great musician, but I should be making music 24/7.
I think you should be making music 24/7, Joey. And I'm not saying that sarcastically, even though it came off a little sarcastically.
Everyone who's listening is being like, well, Maddie maybe, but this Joey guy, I'm not sure. But
Come on.
No, it's a shame that these incredible artists aren't able to make livings doing those things. And, you know, I'm interested in hearing what your thoughts are in this because I see this a lot with people who are artists in one realm and they can't, there's no feasible, viable way for them to make money from that. But you are a culinary artist. You're an artist in the culinary world, a world that I, after that last segment, people know I clearly have no comprehension
of.
He
just hates all food, apparently.
Peanuts and hot sauce are delicious, but.
Beyond that. And blue raspberry, apparently.
I don't have a refined palate. I don't have appreciation for it. It's just like it's just time consuming for me. But you love making food.
I do. It's just you can't really do that and do anything else in the capacity that like I would like to.
What do you mean?
When you work in a restaurant, which I'm actually not right now, I'm working freelance, which has afforded me to do just different things and kind of spread myself out there. I don't really get to have as much creative influence doing freelance, but restaurants, I get to have the creative influence, but I literally have to give up my entire life for it. I did it out in Colorado. I made some great friends in the restaurant, literally knew nobody else in that entire city or state.
It's just like
other than in the restaurant.
Mad, just working, encompasses like 90
you.
Hours a week. Type
yeah,
shit.
I mean, yeah, it gets crazy. And I mean, you love it, but it's like, can that be my only thing going on? And right. So that's where I'm at. Like, it's one of those things where you've got to give up everything for that art and just do nothing but live, breathe. And make food.
Is it frustrating for you? And I know some other visual artists, especially, but I also know some musicians who make other people's art. Like they make money being artists, but the money that they make is generally because they're helping someone else actualize their vision.
I mean, that's what I'm doing right now.
Is that frustrating for you? Like, is that something that's a sore point? Like, would you rather be making your food?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I mean, I've been lucky enough that when I have been in restaurants, I've had chefs that want input and, you know, you get to just have some creative influence. And right now, not that I don't love my job and love everything else. I don't have that. Like, I'm making somebody else's vision. While yeah. sometimes it can be really cool, you know, it is just a little bit like, oh, you know, I'm making something like so-and-so wants. Like, I'll check in with them. Like, this is what they told me to do. This is how I'm going to do it. Even though sometimes in my head, I'm like, hey, it'd be a lot cooler if it was like this or this flavor. But I'm just not there right now.
Yeah. I mean, I can imagine that being incredibly frustrating. And I think that that would probably add to this element of being torn, of like wanting to do, it's really a job. It's not an artistic vision anymore. When you're making someone else's vision, it's really just a job. It's really just a paycheck, and a good one maybe, or even one that you enjoy the process of getting.
Yeah.
But it's still a paycheck. It's just like not artistically cathartic or whatever.
Yeah, that's true.
And I think a lot of people just, you know, capitalism, I'm not going to say this often, but there are good parts about capitalism.
Wow.
As opposed to like feudalism. So fuck okay, you yeah. guys. Yeah, there are good parts.
I was going to say, I don't think I've ever heard you say that.
You know, there. You look at the skyline in New York City and be like, wow, it's amazing that people have been able to do this. You walk across the Brooklyn Bridge and you're like, it's incredible that this people have been able to come together and construct this. And they came together in part because the capitalists had this vision, and then they were able to pay people, exploit people, whatever you want, however you want to put it, to put that vision together. So capitalists are able to construct these amazing visions. But imagine a world where everybody who has visions, who buries those visions deep inside them, were able to like help actualize their own visions, as well as, you know, build a Brooklyn Bridge or make the food for 5,000 people or at this company that is able to pay our rent.
Yeah.
Imagine if there was a world where people could both make the bridge and actualize their own visions. I just think that is the kind of world we should move to. I don't think capitalism can ever foster that. So how do we foster, you know, those passions in people, but at the same time pay our rent, you know, because we don't just want to go.
Eternal question right there.
Yeah, I mean, I obviously it's like rob banks and kill hipsters and take their money, but that's like the go-to quick answer. But, you know, it's much deeper, much more painful.
I mean, I would love to be able to do this feeding the 5,000 things, you know, forever, but yeah. I volunteered my time then at the actual event. It's like, I'm not going to make any money doing that, nor should I, because it's a charity. But things like that, almost every single person there, except for like maybe two people, were just donating their time.
Yeah. 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 It's not sustainable in this. But, you know, again, it comes back to it's not sustainable. And then we drop it. Like, we drop it.
We're like, okay.
Yeah, it's not sustainable. Then the question is, obviously, if that's a beautiful vision, right, why isn't that sustainable? Because that's a beautiful vision. Because a capitalist can't see a way for it to be profitable. And the only things that are sustainable are things that are profitable in this very narrow capitalist sense that continues these cogs moving.
Exactly. But
they're just so – it's just so narrow. It's just such a narrow, horrible vision of the future that the best it can do is gray, right? But there are all these incredible colors to construct. And we just keep looking at the gray. We're like, oh, well, at least we got a gray bridge. Isn't that nice? But it's always like you live your art from, you know, whatever, the off hours. And then you go to work and you're just exhausted and you sell your labor and you fucking get by. But there's like you're an artist and you're a worker bee at the same time. And it's exhausting. It's horrible. It's both things suffer. Your art suffers and your work suffers. But that's something I think punks deal with a lot better than a lot of other people. You know,
I feel like a lot of other people just kind of fall into the work and they don't have any other outlet. I mean, I did that for a while. Mm. You do nothing but work. You're like, all right, well, I can't do this perfectly as well. So I'm just going to work. I'm going to sit down and watch TV, watch some Netflix, go to bed.
You got to do that, too. You got to like.
I love Netflix. Yeah. But
you got to like decompress after, you know, wasting your life building someone else's vision.
But that can't be all you do.
For sure.
That's like, you know, but that's what most people do.
I get frustrated by the plus we got to have fun, right? So
yeah,
a lot of
yeah.
decompression is like some fun people are having, but honestly, we spend huge portion of our day. If you break down your hours statistically and like proportionally, you spend a huge chunk of your day sleeping and a huge chunk of your day building someone else's vision every day. Like, that's the vast majority of your day. You take out food and shitting and showering and, like, the necessities you have to do to get by, transporting yourself to and from that horrible position of building someone else's vision. And you're down to, like, 3 hours a day.
I know. And sometimes not even that.
And that's not even including, like fun or exercise or anything else that you need to do in order to be able to like function, right?
Exactly.
So 3 hours a fucking day, 7 days a week, that's 21 hours a week that you have to build your own vision and have fun and decompress and exercise. That's horrible.
Yeah, it's asking a lot.
And I think you got to cut out the fun. To me, you got to
cut out the fun. Are you serious?
And build your visions, people. We have to like get busy building our visions.
You can have fun building your visions though too.
But you can. It's so hard to even have a vision because that's true. Like the work crushes your visions, and then the fun is like an escape from ever having to think about vision. So like, if you have too much fun, it's hard to get a hold of your vision. Am I wrong?
I don't think you're completely wrong, but I don't think you're completely right.
How, I just want to kill fun.
Lauren, that's what it sounds like. Yeah. Just fun. Joey Steele doesn't want anybody to have any fun.
Click, get down. Boop. All right. So what's a manageable way we can deal with this? Like, look, at the end of the day, we have an answer to this question, right? We're not robbing hipsters and we're not robbing banks. We live our lives and we go to work 8 hours a day if we're lucky, and we build someone else's vision, and then we just give up on our visions. We just give up on our dreams. That's what we do. That's what everybody does.
That is what everybody does.
So
for the most part.
And then they party a little bit.
Just to forget about everything they're doing. Yeah. Those 40 hours a week.
No one's judging anyone for that. It's hard to deal with. But that's what we do. So like, there's our answer. Like, the fact that we can't come up with a better answer just means that we lean on this answer. You know what I mean? So like, what is the better answer to do? Starve? Maybe.
Starve.
I think I'm down. I don't know.
Well, you don't like food, so.
Yeah, all right. Fucking get down again. Done. I don't know.
I don't have an answer. It's something that bothers me.
You do have an answer because you're going back to the world of pain and suffering again. You're getting ready. You're like gearing up for like a really heavy work schedule coming up.
Yeah.
So like in the short term, your answer is to do that.
Yeah, I mean, that's just what I've kind of decided. So.
Lauren's uncomfortable with this. Yeah. We've gone into an uncomfortable realm here.
Yeah. You're giving me a stomachache right now.
Welcome to
my decision.
Do you remember the last segment we did?
Yeah.
I was sick. Okay. So now you're welcome to my pain.
I mean, going back to it, I'll have some free time. Not much. Hopefully I'll use it to keep finding a vision rather than just having fun.
Maybe that's part of it too. Is like, you know, well, I agree with you. I was just being a little bit of a jerk, but
no,
I agree with you. We have to figure out how to have fun creating our visions, and we have to figure out how to have fun making some other piece of shit capitalist vision. Although it does, my main source of anger and aggression comes from the fact that these classes still exist, and that these rich kids out here, like, they just fall into the ability to like force us to make their visions. Like, they have, you know. Paris Hilton just has a vision. She's like, all right, I'm going to hire a film crew of young, incredible, talented film artists to make my dumb show for me. But all of those people on that set have visions of incredibly interesting shows that should be made.
I would highly doubt that making her show would be their vision.
Yeah, exactly. But they all have like these other ideas. But all of those artists on that film set are getting paid by her and her thoughtless bullshit, because she's got hordes of money to that they can live off of. And they have to just, you know, crush their own visions. Every time I walk past a set in New York, I kind of tear up. I'm like, other than the union guys who've given up on life, like the young people who are running around and telling me I got to walk on the other side of the street, they're all like, I'm like, you all have visions? Why are you making this dumb TV show? This TV show's dumb. This TV show's boring. Gotham is stupid. I see every episode of Gotham being filmed in the city, and it's a dumb show. And it breaks my heart seeing that those young artists, you know, Maddie breaks my heart. Knowing that she's making someone else's vision every day. Breaks my heart that Lauren is going to be making someone else's food every day. Lauren should be making food for me every day. Oh, wait, no, that's...
As long as I don't get stuff from a farmer's market,
yeah,
right?
No, you can get it. I just don't want to know about
it. Okay, I'll hide it from you.
I don't know. You know, there's... Obviously, this is an answerless segment, so, you know...
If any of you have the answers, just message dispatches,
could you please. Just write them in the
fucking... Love to know.
You know what? Don't even message me because I don't want to hear it. But message, like, put it in the sky or something. Or you're probably just going to hoard it for yourself, and then you're going to have a better life, and you're going to pay me to build your vision, and then I'm going to
have... That's what's going to happen.
That's what's going to happen. That's fucking bullshit. All right, fuck that, and fuck you, and fuck this. I feel like when I talk about this, I get sort of bummed out.
I get super bummed out. I've been bummed out since I listened to that episode.
Oh, really?
Well, like, a little bit, yeah. And there's a lot of people that I know even not in the punk community that feel the same way.
I don't want to bum people out. I mean,
but bummed out, like, in, I gotta figure this shit out. Like, in a bummed out, but in a good way, in a positive way.
That's exactly what I do, Lauren. There you go. You just killed the fucking fun right there.
Yeah.
I mean, like, you know, we should feel pressured a little bit.
Yeah. And it's tough. It's like, do I want to, not that I don't love doing what I do, but do I want to do that for 80% of the next 2 years of my life? I don't know.
Yeah. The alternatives, they aren't clear, and that's where the bummed out part comes and where the fire comes from, like, wanting to figure that out. But yeah, I totally understand. I don't want to bum people, and I don't feel bummed out. Like, I'm motivated. I know you're motivated, and I'm motivated. Like, we are two motivated people. I'm not bummed out. People call me a pessimist all the time, and I'm like, I don't see it. I guess I'm negative, but I'm always, like, looking at the negative and being like, hell yeah, we can do so much better.
Yeah.
Like, I can't wait till we do it. Let's fucking do it. Let's just get it done. So, yeah, maybe I'm being a little negative. What do you think, like, maybe one small thing people can do is at least try to develop that vision, you know?
Think about what you actually want.
Like, if, and maybe it's a dream, and I think
maybe how you want to live your life, not just, like, what you want. I guess that was a bad way to put it, because, like, I don't want to hear, like, oh, I want this house, I want that. I don't give a shit.
I want a Corvette.
Like, yeah, like, yeah. Like, how would you ideally live your life if you could? That's kind of what I'm trying to start to reflect on.
Do you think that they'd be dramatic? Like, you would you live in, like, Walden Pond or something like that? Like, are you going to go throw on us and, like, fucking?
All right, now, maybe
woods?
When I'm older.
Oh, I hit the nail on the head there. Interesting. Fucking farmer's market had me going down that road.
But, yeah, I'm nowhere near that right now. I just get really, really fucking bored. I do love New York City for how hard it is. I love New York City.
That's a good way to put it, actually. I love New York despite how hard it is. Or maybe because.
Because it's a combination.
Yeah. It is. It's people, too. You know, it's like, do you love people or do you hate them? That's the question that you got to ask yourself. And I think it's a really hard for people who are trying to develop that vision, too, because a lot of the vision, look, our vision has been stifled so much because everything has been filtered into this capitalist mode of, like, can you make money off of it? And I think all good people's visions really can't make money.
No,
like,
probably
it's
not.
Not about making money. It's about bringing joy to life or improving someone's quality of life or, you know, expressing something that has yet to be expressed and needs to be expressed in order to, like, show people a different idea or feeling or emotion or whatever. And there's no money going to be made from those things. Like, different is not going to make money. The same makes money.
Yeah, but you're not told to look at things like that. Like, you're told to figure out what you want to do, meaning what you want to do to make money.
I mean, what you want to do for someone else.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Exactly. So you can afford to live.
Yeah, we're trained to not be the ones who are making decisions and deciding visions. And, like, I feel like one of our jobs here at Dispatches is, like, helping people foster those visions. So, like, maybe people just need to, like, don't get overwhelmed. Just start to develop that vision beyond yourself of, like, how, maybe it's what Lauren said of, like,
how you want to live your life.
How you want to live your life. Or maybe it's, what do you think that the world really needs that you have burning in you that you need to compel others to see?
Yeah, like, what could you offer somebody else? Like, what do you want to change about your surroundings, people exactly. around you, situations?
I think change is a good way to put it, too, actually, when you bring that up.
Yeah, because something has to change.
And we all hate things, so, like, focusing on that change, you know, and we're told not to, right? But we all think that there is injustice, or even, it doesn't even have to be, people don't even have to think about it in terms of justice. There's, like, stuff that they are frustrated with, and focus on trying to change that, you know?
Yeah.
Could be small. It could be even, like, would a part of this be, like, in your job where you're making someone else's vision, would it be like finding the courage or finding the, not even necessarily the courage, like finding the way to talk to your boss to be like about that recipe that you think needs improvement or changing? Like, how, maybe that's it. Would that satiate some of your, like, feelings on this front? Or do you think that would still not really do anything?
I mean, it could. And I mean, sometimes my bosses do tend to listen to me when I have things like that, but
yeah.
It kind of satiates you for a little bit, but then you want more. But that's a good stepping stone. It's a good analogy for somebody else in a different profession. You know, slowly get your vision across, start small, and then work up to something bigger.
I think that we've been so choked out of having visions that I think that people really need to cultivate that sense in themselves. I think that's a good way to put it. You know, try to get in touch with your vision and try to like focus on the negative a little bit.
Yeah.
Focus on what you see is wrong and then how you can improve it. Maybe.
I feel like it's easiest to look at it that way.
Yeah. Maybe your answer is a little healthier than mine. Mine might be a little bit obsessive. I'm a little bit of an obsessive person. You know, like how you want to live your life. That's less directed. Like that's less change oriented.
I mean, it depends on the answer. Yeah. It's like, how do you want to live your life? It's usually something you want to change. Yeah. Most people want to change at least a few things about their lives, their everyday lives.
Yeah. What is there something that you feel like a simple change that you see in your foreseeable future, like in the next few years, not even on the job front, you know, maybe it's on another front that you feel, obviously you've been involved with the Dispatches Collective. So that's a change, you know, that you've been doing, and you've been doing some crazy, courageous stuff on that front. But like, is there something that you feel like, maybe not even for yourself, could be for someone else, that you're like, I really think that this is a change that people need, that I need, that other people need, that my friends lack. You know, one thing that I see, if you're thinking about it still.
I'm still thinking about it.
You know, I see one element is the baby factory that everybody has going on in our world. And I think a lot of people, I don't want to get angry emails about that Joey hates people who have babies. That's not what I'm just gonna say, but I think a lot of people turn to having babies because they think that that is like adulthood, and they see that that's a tiny vision that they can realize, and they feel like how I want to live my life is by leaving a legacy that could impact this world, and then it becomes like through a baby. And I think a lot of people turn to that because they've lost touch with their vision. They've given up on that. They don't see any other way to do it. So,
like, maybe my kid can do it.
Yeah, exactly.
Leave it up to them. Like, I'll focus on you. You figure it out for me.
It's like a tiny little bit of hope that they can just like let dribble out their penis or out their ovary or whatever. and that breaks my heart, because I know that those people have such, you know, have had such visions in their youth, and they sort of like done with them. And now they're living this other world. And I don't blame children. I don't blame them. I just think, you know, it breaks my heart seeing that they have lost that fire to see that vision.
And I mean, I do think that's why some people have kids. But also there's people that have kids that do still have visions. We can't discount that just because there's some people that have kids because they want to have kids. I'm not one of them. But I'm sure they're out there.
That's not how we change our lives. That's not how we want to change our lives. Yeah. All right. Well, I think that that's a more positive tone. We should end on something positive. So to me, I think people need to get down and really just like figure out what is in their innermost vision that they need to fucking like put their energy into. You know, the thing that really defines who they are deep down when it comes down to them, and how they can make that real. That I think would make a healthier world on like a really small level.
Yeah,
you know,
I mean, it's not an easy thing either. I'm still working it out. Yeah. I have no idea.
But I think yours is a little bit different, right? So there's a vision element, but there's also this other point, this like different question that you have to answer internally that you're saying, how are you going to live a life?
I don't know how I'm going to live my life. Yeah. That's a good question. So trying to figure that out still.
So those are some pragmatic possibilities. Be hopeful.
Be hopeful, yeah.
And you don't have to kill cops. You don't have to. I'm saying you don't have to kill cops or capitalists. We can try to do this DIY style without guns for now is what you're...
Yeah, that's exactly what I'm saying. Okay. Took the words right out of my mouth.
My brain went there, so I don't know if other people... I figured other people's might be, so... All right, cool. You're the band that's not playing Punk Island, but they should be playing Punk Island, and hopefully next year they will be. It's a band that Scum City, who is playing Punk Island, they were just on tour. They were playing, I think, in the D.C. area, and they were playing with this band Bust Off from DC. I don't know anything about them really, but I listened to their album and I really dug it. I thought it was a great blend of sort of philosophical and political stuff with really brutal fucking riffs and really great vocals. Fantastic band. Fucking dug it. Christine from Scum City messaged me when she was playing with them. She said, yo, you gotta check this band out. She was 100% right. I really dug them. This is a song, I think it's called Burn Bethesda, but to me when I hear him playing it, honestly, it just sounds like you're saying Burn America. So Sorry, guys. I'm sure you have much more interesting lyrics than the ones I came up with in my head, but sounds to me like you're saying Burn America. So, sorry. This is Burn America by Bust Off, but I guess it's technically called Burn Bethesda, I guess. Either way, it's a sweet fucking tune. Get down. All right, that's the end of the episode. Want to thank everyone for tuning in. Huge thanks to Lauren for coming out to the studio and being involved in the Dispatchers from the Underground Collective. Want to say thanks to everyone who tunes in every single week to Dispatchers from the Underground. Looks us up on our website, dispatchersfromtheunderground.com. Spreads the word for us. I mean, there's just a million thanks. I can't say it enough how appreciative I am that people keep tuning in. Not only in New York City, where I am, but all around the country and all around the world, there's people who are tuning in to Dispatches. It warms my cold, dying, bleak, bullshit leftist heart that people want to hear this and are spreading the word. So thank you very much. If you do dig what we do, it does cost us a little money to make it happen. So any donation, $5, is huge for us. So go to dispatchersfromtheunderground.com. There's a donation button. That money goes into this podcast and making it function. I'm not going to be living off those dollars. So anything you can do to just help make the podcast less painful for me is a huge help. That's all the thank yous. I want to shout out again to everyone to come out June 19th at Punk Island. We're going to be playing with my band Joey Steele and the Attitude Adjusters, which is my Motown hardcore band. It's going to be playing that day, but there's 80 bands. So if you don't like Motown or hardcore, I promise you, you can avoid me completely and still have a really fucking good time. The thing about it is Punk Island really cultivates a different feeling than any other show you're going to go to. And I think you're going to have a good time. I guarantee you have a good fucking time at this show. So hopefully we'll see you June 19th at that show. That night, I'm playing in New York City as well with Leftover Crack, Days and Days, and Miscegenator. My band All Torn Up is going to be on tour with Leftover Crack in the beginning of June. And we're going to be playing on the East Coast, up and down the East Coast. If you listen to this podcast and you like All Torn Up and you come out to a show, come to the merch table. I'll probably be over there. Say hey, mention the podcast, and we'll hook you up with some free shit. And we'll talk a little bit. Hopefully we can get down a little bit while we're there. So anyway, June 19th, the night of Punk Island, we're going to be playing in Williamsburg. So if you're around for Punk Island, stay over and come to the show that night. Ton of great shows. June 20th, there's another Dispatches show. It's going to be at the Grand Victory. We played Apes of the State earlier on the episode, talking about that, and Rats in the Wall, which is one of my personal absolute favorite bands in the fucking world, is going to be playing on Punk Island and on that after party show. So definitely don't want to miss any of those. Yeah, there's a ton of shit going on. This is just too much to mention. A million great bands and a million fucking things to do. So stop listening now. Or listen to some old episodes and then stop listening. But stop listening and go out there and figure out your own vision. Make this world a better place and hopefully a little bit brighter, more vibrant. That's what we're going to do. Let's do it. Get down.